Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of nice texts about Ian, a story of pure determination and resilience. Halfway through the book, I'm sure it was not easy to write. Please wish Ian all the best for the future. A super role model for all young sports people. And that's from Susan in Dublin. Now, Mac Mafia author Misha Glenning is usually kind of ahead of the game in terms of his interests. So he was telling us about Putin and Russian oligarchs for years. He was telling us about the danger of cybercrime and hacking. And now he's turned his attention to what he thinks is the next big geopolitical struggle, and one that he says holds the key to all our future. So we probably should pay attention. And Misha, who is the rector of the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna, joins me now. Good morning, Misha.
Good morning, Brendan.
So you've done this BBC Radio 4 programme called The Scramble for Rare Earths, and you think, I know, that this is a huge story. What are rare earth metals and why are they so important?
Well, there are 17 rare earth metals, which, contrary to their name, are not particularly rare. They're found all over the globe. But in order to extract them, you need to take out huge amounts of aggregate and rock. So the extraction of rare earths is very polluting. The reason why they're so important, along with another group of metals called critical raw materials, is that they are the building blocks at the very heart of technology, and green technology in particular. So computers, smartphones, all need rare earth metals to some degree. Things like wind farms have to have rare earth metals like neodymium to produce the incredibly powerful magnets that they require to produce electricity. And so essentially, if we're going to have a green future, if we're going to wean ourselves off fossil fuels, we have to extract vast amounts of these rare earth metals from the earth. So that's what rare earths are, but they're a big geopolitical problem as well.
And the major issue here is that we're very dependent on China for these materials.
That's absolutely right. The key issue is that China provides the world with about 87% of its rare earth metal requirement. And as we know from Russia's monopoly on the supply, or near monopoly on the supply of gas to Europe, as we've discovered over the past 6 months or so, being dependent on a potential rival or competitor to such an extent on critical raw materials is, frankly, a bad idea. So the reason why my series on Radio 4 was called The Scramble for Rare Earths is that over the past 5 to 10 years, countries across the world have realized that they have to diversify their sourcing and their processing of these metals. But that's very, very difficult if you leave it open to the market, because China, which is now very experienced in producing and processing rare earth metals, can sell these things at 30% under what anyone else can. So at the moment, they continue to sit on that monopoly.
Okay, I presume that's not by accident that China has built up this dominance, is it?
No, so it's a really fascinating story, because 35 years ago, the United States had a complete monopoly on rare earth metal extraction and production. But in the 1990s, when globalization really got going and the US decided to turn China into the heartland of its own manufacturing system, it exported all of the rare earth metal extraction and processing. So over the past 30 years, the US has now become completely dependent on China, having had a monopoly of its own, but because it wanted to save money, it handed them over to China. And one of the reasons why China is able to do this is it has had very lax laws and regulations on the polluting impact of the extraction of rare earth metals. But now it's sitting pretty with this monopoly, and it doesn't want to let go of it for obvious reasons.
It sounds a bit like fracking or something. Is it the way they have to try and extract these?
Yes, there are similarities. There are a variety of ways that you can extract rare earths and other critical raw materials. It depends where they're found. So some of them require mining, classic mining procedures, such as the lithium, which is critical for car batteries, of course, that you find in Serbia. But some of them, the lithium that you find in Chile, for example, requires a different type of leaching process, which can be very, very polluting. But essentially, what you do is you send in chemicals and explosives into mountains and blow the things up, and then extract the rare earths from it. This is happening a lot at the moment in Burma, for example. And there was a marvelous report recently by the NGO Global Witness, which detailed just how horrifying the unregulated extraction of rare earth metals can be, in particular in the case of Burma.
Okay, yeah. And actually, I think coincidentally this week, we started talking about the fact that there is there's lithium, there's gold in them there hills in Ireland as well. Listen, you know the way, Misha, we hear people talk about that the wars of the future will be wars over resources. They talk about stuff like water and all that kind of thing. Could rare earth metals could be the new kind of resource that is causing strife around the world, yeah?
Well, Brendan, it already is, because the European Union, realizing that it needed to get its own safe supply about 5 or 6 years ago, set up something called the Critical Raw Materials Alliance, and it's made deals for the extraction of rare earths and other raw materials with two countries. One is Canada, the other is, wait for it, Ukraine. And it turns out that Ukraine has trillions of dollars worth of critical raw materials, rare earth and other metals that we need. And Russia has known about this for a long time. There is actually an economic aspect to the Russo-Ukrainian war, which is Russia trying to secure its own supply of critical raw materials and rare earths from the very fertile basin around Donetsk and Lugansk and further west in Ukraine. So we're seeing these resources are already causing wars. And in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, which I reported on in McMafia many years ago, that is all about access to rare earth metals and other raw materials such as diamonds and gold.
So this is extraordinary about Ukraine, Misha.
Aspect of future conflicts.
This is extraordinary about Ukraine, Misha, because we don't hear this mentioned at all.
No, there has been the reporting on Ukraine has, on the whole, been very courageous, but there have been big holes missing from the reporting in Ukraine. One of them is this economic aspect. The other is that this is, by its very nature, a global conflict, which we're all involved in. And I was astonished when I started working with a research company in Canada called SecDev. And SecDev had started to map all of the critical raw materials in Ukraine. And at the moment, Russian troops occupy territory which contain about 25% of all of Ukraine's mineral wealth, which is a really, really significant chunk.
Okay. Misha, speaking of Ukraine, can you tell me in 30 seconds how you see it playing out in the foreseeable?
It's a very difficult and dangerous situation at the moment. The weather is holding out, which means you're likely to see the Ukrainian military attempting to take Kherson in the south. This would be a big psychological blow for Putin, but Russia shows no signs of wanting to bring the war to an end yet by negotiation, nor does the Ukrainian side. So we're still in for a very long haul, and the next 6 months will be very important.
Okay, on we go. Okay, Misha Glenny, Rector of the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. Good to talk to you again. Thanks, Misha.
Great. Thanks, Brendan.